welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, well, okay, we don't normally show a clip from Shrek, but as I said, the theme is I Need a Hero, so I thought it'd be a bit of fun. And so we've been talking about being called out. The word ecclesia, which is the Greek word for church, means called out. A people who are called by God out into something new, something different. And we went from that to seeing how the reason we can do what he's called us to do is because Christ lives in us. All right. And the key scripture that we've been using throughout all of this is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, we've actually been focusing on it more from the truth version, which is very, very similar. I have been crucified together with Christ. The person I was no longer lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in God's Son who has loved me by giving himself on my behalf. The old has gone, the new has come, to put it in the way another scripture puts it. All right? We are new. And I need a hero. I think that's, there's different ways of looking at it really in this morning. There's a sense of the world needs a hero right now. It needs people who've got something that they believe in that is the core of what they stand on so that they can make a difference to the lives of people around them. All right? You are the heroes. We talked about you being champions the other week. But that's actually not what I'm going to focus on this week. I'm going to focus on the hero of heroes. His name is Jesus. All right? Because this Jesus is living in me and he's living in you. So if the hero is living in me, the champion, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is living in me, what does that mean? He's equipping me to be a hero, a champion. But in ourselves, we don't feel like that. If you remember the talk the other week, you can feel like you're on a scale from failure to success, and maybe out of modesty, you place yourself somewhere in the middle. And we saw, I hope, that we're not anywhere on that scale at all. We're way beyond that scale because Christ has placed us in the position of ultimate success. We actually have a seat in heavenly places. That's our spiritual position. So I've got that place in heaven, but as I live out my life on the earth, Christ is actually living in me, this hero, and that the power and the everything that was on him and everything that people saw him do, he's within me to enable me to do the same kind of stuff. All right. So often the church puts itself back on a scale of failure to success and downgrades everything that they think they're able to do because they go based on previous experience. But we can't go based on previous experience because previous experience is based upon people losing faith in what God can do. We can't look at what God has done just where it's not working. We need to look into the actual Word of God and see that Jesus is an enabler of his people.
Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So, I need a hero. Let's have a look at the hero Jesus. That's what we're going to run through and just see what we're on about with Jesus. Because he is the ultimate hero. He's not a James Bond that you're going to see in Skyfall. He is the ultimate hero. And I just want to look at, we're just going to take some snapshots of a bit from his life and just see that this guy is the one who's living in you. All right, obviously he's not a human being now. He's not fully man as he was then. But by his spirit, Jesus is living in you, and we are called to do the same thing. All right, otherwise, why would Jesus live in you? It's not just some kind of blessing. It's the whole package. It's the Holy Spirit that's living in you. And the Holy Spirit is fully God. I mean, it takes some getting your head round, really, doesn't it? And when we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was Jesus came and he lived out everything that we could understand of God expressed in a human being. So when we see the life that Jesus is living, we can see the kind of lives that we're capable of living because he was a man whose life was fully dedicated to God. Amen? He knew what it was like to rely on grace. The reason he was fully man, as well as being fully God, was because he chose to live as a man. Because if he came and just lived as a God, if you like, in Jerusalem and along in Israel, it wouldn't really demonstrate anything. We'd just see what God can do when he looks like a man. Yeah. But if he came as fully as a human being, but untainted by sin, we can see what mankind, what men, women and children are fully capable of just because the Holy Spirit is within them. That's why you see Jesus getting baptized, if you know that story, and a dove comes down and it shows that he has been filled with the Spirit. If he wasn't filled with the Spirit and submitted to God the Father, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. But because he was, and he was human, and he knew to rely on the grace of God — the grace of God means like the enabling and the favor of God that helps you, that enables you to do what you couldn't do — if he hadn't have done that, he would have been nothing. So he didn't do it as God, his ministry. He's not God when we read these passages right now. He is actually a man. All right, so that means we can do this too. But what a hero. All right, I'm just going to start with a little bit where you can see, because we don't often think of Jesus as a hero. You know, he's often cast as the sort of a meek and mild, and the Jesus films with Robert Powell, he's a little bit solemn and, you know, and mysterious and stuff like that. And sometimes when you read the scriptures, you think that doesn't quite match. I mean, we don't know what color eyes he's got, but maybe he did have Robert Powell piercing blue eyes, but since he was Jewish, it's probably unlikely from the Middle East. He probably had darker skin and brown eyes. Right, this is from Matthew chapter 4, and then I'm going to jump to chapter 8, and we're just going to look through chapter 8. But I just want to start here, because this is Jesus. This is who is in us. This is what inspires us to go for greater, to go for something bigger, to realize, yeah, what everything that God says about us, and he's been saying in this time about seeing the church grow because we want to see more people knowing Jesus and having an influence that's positive in our community. Yeah, I can see why we're going for it, because I'm following a hero. Jesus then went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues there — this is verse 23, preaching the good news about God's kingdom. He healed people from every disease and sickness. Right, let's get that one in right there, right now, right at the beginning, because I think this is important. There are a certain number of miracles that are documented in the Gospels that we can learn from. So the evangelists have specifically written them down because we can learn specific teachings from them. But they're not the only healings. God is not really into just some few special ones that we can all go, wow, at. He's into healing all. Are we seeing everybody healed? No. But if we don't pursue it, if we don't keep getting on the bike and trying to get a bit further, if we don't learn to go round corners, if we don't get a bigger bike, maybe even try a penny farthing for a bit of a laugh, we're never going to see the greater miracles and the greater healings. Because the fact remains that when the last lemming has leapt off the cliff, the bottom line is he healed every disease and sickness. All right, and that is God's nature, because Jesus came to show us God's nature. Heal, 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 heal. And isn't that amazing? I think it's absolutely incredible. What a hero. I mean, that, you know, he is the ultimate doctor, the ultimate nurse, the ultimate consultant, the ultimate surgeon. Except that he didn't use a scalpel. Well, he didn't use a scalpel on the body. He regularly uses a scalpel on us, internally, to sort us out a bit and cut out the rubbish so that we can live in the freedom. Yeah. You know, sometimes our thinking and our understanding can be like a cancer in our lives that destroys the way we're living our Christian walk. And we fall back into an old way of thinking or an old pattern of sin, and it's like a cancer that's destroying spiritual life within us. And times like the worship and getting before God on your own, there are times when you're saying to the Holy Spirit, come, get your scalpel out. Yeah. And actually it can be painful. It can be really painful. But who wants to die of cancer? All right, you want life, don't you? Everybody fights, everybody wants more. But this isn't just a life that's going to last 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, or whatever it is for each individual. This is a life for eternity. This is a preparation for what I'm going to. This is, but it is also for now. Because we can live pressing our own self-destruct buttons because that's what we did before. But we want to get on that bike and we want to get the stabilizers off and we want to race in the Olympics because we're not called to just toddler bikes. We're called to those sort of super fast racers and peculiar helmets and everything else that they wear. We're the champions because we've got the hero of heroes, the champion of champions, living inside of us. Amen? This is what it means when we say Christ lives in us. It's not some sort of thought of lovely belief. This is like, Christ lives in me. Jesus Christ lives in me. Whew. It should get us so fired up and excited when we realize, wow, it's like having a million Duracell batteries. You know? I am the ultimate pink bunny. Some of you got there. Some of you got there. Yeah, Jonathan, I'm a bunny and a geek. Right. So the news of what he was doing spread all over Syria as well. When people start doing the stuff, and they start toddling, you know, getting on the toddler bike. Okay, well, I don't know about healing, but I know that God does the healing and he lives in me, so be healed. You're not trying to get something out of you. You're just standing there letting God minister through you. That's why it's easy. We got that one of those things up at Lamplugh House that goes, that was easy. But in a sense, every time we see somebody healed, it should be, that was easy, because it's not us. All right, it's actually the power of God flowing through us. And when we try and think, oh, I've got to get in there, I've got to do that, that's when you become like a blockage, really. I sound like Pastor Colin's Bertha Blockage there, so we won't go too much down that road. But, you know, you're just a funnel. You're just a divine funnel. And God takes you and uses you just because you put the funnel on somebody else if you're laying hands on. You know? Jesus lives in you. And then when the people of God start believing that Jesus lives in them, the word's going to spread. It says here it spread throughout Syria. It wasn't, the world at that time wasn't super, you know, ready for somebody like Jesus. Somebody going around claiming their God was as peculiar then as it is now. In fact, it could even be considered more peculiar. He came to a very people whose very firm belief stood on that there is one God. And you shall make no image of him. And then God turns up and saying, well, actually, this is another version of me. I mean, there's not more than one God. I hope we understand that. But imagine this man turns up and says, I'm God. And they're thinking, but we're not even supposed to make a statue of him. And now you look like a human being. It was an incredible challenge. It's probably worse than now. And the Romans, they had loads of them. They had gods coming out their ears. And they had little convenient ones this size that you could take in your pocket. I don't know if they had pockets, but, you know, they didn't need this one that demanded everything. But because the Spirit was flowing through Jesus, the word spreads. And we're living this year, 2013, it's time for the word to spread. Let's make Jesus famous. All right, because he is the best hero around. The world is crying out, I need a hero. All right, not quite the same as that. That was Shrek that was coming in human form, by the way, if you don't know the Shrek back, he's an ogre. So he's not your typical hero either. But at that point, he believes he's got to look like a hero. He's normally green and ugly with ears that stick out here and smelly and breaks wind and everything else that an ogre does. But he feels that he's got to look heroic. And he takes on that persona. And the white steed that he's riding isn't really a donkey. All right, and they come to the rescue as the heroes. And as the story goes, well, you watch it. There's some great scriptural truth in it. That's what is some absolute rubbish. But I mean, it's all fairy tales and magic as well. So, you know, but I like Shrek. But so the hero arrives in the nick of time before the princess is being stolen by the wrong prince, pretending to be Shrek. Right, Jesus. As a result, people were brought to him suffering from various diseases, often in severe pain. I like that, a bit of detail. Often in severe pain. This wasn't just the odd, you know, I hit my thumb with a hammer. These are people in severe pain. Things were happening. I mean, probably a lot of these people in severe pain had things that were very wrong with them. All right, we haven't got it documented of the individual cases of healing because we don't really need to know. We don't really need to know what's wrong with somebody to heal them. If they're in pain, it might be because they've eaten something, or it might be because there's a cancer, or it might be anything. It doesn't really matter. God's healing power is so far beyond any sickness, any disease, any illness in a person that it doesn't matter what it is. The healing power is there to see that person restored. It's us, because of our sort of low perspective, that obviously is going to rank the diseases. That's much worse than that one. That's much, and it is worse because we see that that one causes death and that one causes discomfort. But compared to the power of God up there somewhere, they're all just there for healing. So some of these people that were healed from severe pain, some of them might have eaten something very badly and got severe pains in their stomach from that way. But there certainly would have been others that did have various diseases, which if we'd got Dr. Fraser there to answer the questions, he could have done a few bits of diagnosis and told Jesus, well, this one's got this and this one's got this. But it wasn't really necessary in that context because he was going to heal them. Right? So you don't have to worry. Sometimes I meet Christians who are so anxious to get the diagnosis because they feel when they know the diagnosis, they'll know how to pray. All right, I can pray specifically against that. All sickness and disease is not of God. So all sickness and disease is ready for healing. It can be purely physical. It can have a spiritual source. It can have a demonic source. But Jesus healed them all. All right, and these people with severe pain would have had all kinds of reasons. And he healed them all. Large crowds came not only from Galilee, but from the 10 towns on the far side of the lake, from Jerusalem and Judea and the region across Jordan. And then they followed him wherever he went. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty amazing, I reckon. You know, the funny thing is, this happens just after where you really see something of the nature of the heroicness in Jesus. Because men want someone to follow who's doing something. All right, men are not very good at just passive reflection, praise the Lord. All right, they want to see that something works. In fact, we're living in a postmodern society that wants to see something works. They're not so much interested anymore, is it true? That was a previous generation. The generation now, they want to know if it works. If it works, they're going to be interested. But that's a slight aside. But here we go back a little bit. If you go back in that chapter, it says this is before all these miracles have happened. And where shall I go from? Verse 17. This marked the beginning of Jesus preaching. Repent, he proclaimed, for now the kingdom of heaven is within your reach. In some scriptures, some versions, the English will be translated, is at hand. In other words, it's right in front of you. You can take hold of it. Why? Because he was living in the kingdom. But when you meet somebody, you can say to them, repent, change your mind about what you've thought about God, because the kingdom of heaven is right in front of you right now. Would you be bold enough to do that? I mean, you've got to do it in the right way. You don't just want to turn them off through arrogance. But literally, when you're standing next to somebody, the kingdom of God is right next to them. They could reach out to you and take hold of the kingdom of God, because your life is something that is submitted to Jesus, and Christ is living in you.
That's right.
Thanks, Brian. It's good that someone agrees. When Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is the next bit, he saw two brothers, Simon, later known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen and were casting their nets into the lake. Come and follow me, Jesus called to them, and I will enable you to catch men. Immediately, they abandoned their nets and followed Jesus. Further on, Jesus saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were with their father in a boat preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and they immediately left their father in the boat and followed him. He must have been amazing. Right? If you read through the Gospels, this wasn't the first time they'd seen Jesus, all right? Sometimes it's preached that it wasn't. They would have heard him talk. He's probably had discussions with them. He's made himself aware to them. But now he's got to this point and he says, right, come on. You're doing the fishing or you're coming with me? You need to make a choice. And Jesus does this to us at various times in our lives. He says, right, come on, follow me. It can be the very first time you don't yet follow Jesus, and you'll get that point where you've been learning about him, discovering about him, thinking about him, and you'll get something that goes, come, follow me. And you know that you need to make a choice. But actually, it doesn't stop there. As Christians, it goes on and on and on. And Jesus will continuously present challenges to you. Bigger bikes, faster bikes, go faster stripes, everything to you, and says, come, follow me. And you have a choice. You can stay where you are, or you can grow. All right, but if you stay where you are, you eventually end up pot bound. All right, and your roots get all tangled up in the little pot that you planted in at that point. That pot was plenty big enough when you were first planted in there, and you got planted into something new, and you started to grow. You know, and you thought, wow, this is fantastic. And the pot can be all kinds of circumstances in our lives. It can be a church that you're part of. Okay, and you know, and the pot just gets too small. There are people here sitting in this congregation, and God will call you to other nations. And the pot will be too small. If you stay here and that's all you do and we didn't send you, the pot, your roots would just get tighter and tighter and you would wither. Because you can't get the nutrients anymore because the soil is being replaced by, you get the picture. And sometimes that's why God calls people from one congregation to another congregation. I'm not promoting church hopping in any way whatsoever. But there are times when you need a new pot because you need to grow. But even within the life of a church, God will give you challenges. He will say, come on, you need to step out in the worship now. Put your hands in the air. Once upon a time, for me and Kate, that was a huge thing. A massive thing. We didn't like doing it. And when the worship leader said, let us put our hands in the air, we looked at one another and said, let us not. I've told you that before. It was a faith camp. Chris Bowater was leading. You know, we weren't doing that silly stuff. It was overreacting. It was emotional. Let alone other stuff like when you saw people fall over in the spirit or dancing, you know. Ridiculous. Well, that's how I felt. I didn't believe in all that emotional stuff. You know, you didn't need that. I had an intellectual understanding of Jesus. And he needed to bring me through to where I got a relationship with somebody. If my walk with Jesus was all based on books, I needed to get to know him. And when I got to know him, it was suddenly a lot more exciting. Because instead of there just being this book, I realized he's living in me. And actually, I can make a difference. I just need to do what he's called me to do. And then you find you do that, and then there comes a time when he says, here's another pot for you. Try this. Learn keyboard so you can join the worship team. You know, there might be another pot. That might be, yeah, come on, go for it. Learn guitar. Or it might say, right, it's time for you to join the street angels. I gotta go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's a bigger pot. Do you want to grow? Come on. Yeah, I can't go out on the streets. I've never been out. I wouldn't go there. It's dark. It's a bigger pot. And Jesus says, come, follow me. Maybe it's the youth angels. I don't like the teenagers to the smelly spots. They might be nasty to me and they might not like them. Yeah? It's a bigger pot. Yeah. All of what you just said might be true. Yeah. Because very often the very things that we say are true. Yeah. And God says, come follow me. These guys could have said, we've got a decent fishing business here. We've got boats. I can't leave. James and John could have said, we can't leave our dad. Zebedee, his name was. Boing. We can't leave our dad. Certain age, that was funny too. The rest of you. It's time for bed. Yeah. We can't leave our dad because he's got this business. And Jesus said, come follow me. It's a new pot. Simon, or became known as Peter, come follow me. And his brother Andrew. They were busy casting their nets out on the lake at that moment. That's why when they went back to fishing, they were rubbish. Because they'd outgrown it even by then. Sometimes we try to go back to what God did with us before. It doesn't work. Because the adventure with God is going forwards. You know, you keep going.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. And there's always new directions and new things to go for, new things to jump over, new things. It's like that game Temple Run, if you play that. You know, it's like constant. You have to keep going. This isn't so biblical because there's demons and monsters behind you. So you have to keep going. And there's sharp corners to turn and things to jump over and things to duck under. And you just got to keep going. Well, sometimes it's like that with a Christian walk, because if you stop, they're going to get you. That's not strictly correct, but I like the example. It makes us think. Right. That was the introduction, and I'm probably running out of time. So let's go to a mega quick look at the hero in operation in chapter 8 of Matthew. All right? I won't spend so long on this one. Jesus came down from the mountainside, it says here. Large crowds still followed him wherever he went. Jesus was attractive. He had a great message. He did exciting things. It wasn't just that he had a holy glow, so that you know, he didn't float along on a little cloud wearing his white dress and flip-flops. You know? He was like the rest of them. His clothes were dirty because he was on the road. He didn't really stand out with a glow. What stood out was the Spirit of God that was within him, that's within us. And he said, I don't say anything unless my Father gives to say it. So what stood out were the words he was speaking, because they were straight from the Father. You think, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Just get on the bike. Start learning. We might crash occasionally and throw our own wisdom and our own words in there. But if Jesus, if the Father has said, I will give you the words to speak, as he has done, then we just need to try it. It's amazing. You could be sitting to talking to someone and they ask you questions and you think, I know the answer. I didn't know I knew the answer to that. You know, it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you have to genuinely say, I'll have to find that out. That's really interesting. You know, they bring up some contradiction apparently in the Bible or some interesting bit of theology and you really don't know how to answer it. You just say, oh, I don't know. Just be honest. You haven't got to make it up on the spot. They followed him wherever he went. A leper came and knelt before him and said, Lord, you can cleanse me and heal me if you want to. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, of course I want to be cleansed. Let's get that in our noggins, in our revelationary package, that when we say to God, heal, when we say to God, meet this need, he said, if you want to, maybe we even add it, his answer is, of course I want to. You see somebody sick, does God want to heal them? Of course I want to. Does he see a child who is unwell? Does he want to see that child healed? Of course I want to. That is the word of God. Then why don't we see it everywhere all the time? Because we are his hands and his feet and the Spirit is flowing through us. And this is an interlude, a tiny, tiny, tiny space of time in all of eternity when God has chosen to act through man. In eternity, it will be nothing. But for this moment, we're in it. For this moment, we've got something to do, and that's to see God doing what he wants to do here. Of course I want to. We could think of all kinds of reasons, perhaps why, and people come up with all complicated lists of why people aren't healed. But there's something that's right about, throw all that out. Of course I want to. It's not entirely correct. We need to constantly pursue God and understand more and look at why things are happening. But when you're faced with somebody who's ill, does God want to heal that person? God says, of course I want to. Amen. Amen. It's there. We don't need the clever arguments. It's there. Be cleansed. At once he was healed of his leprosy. And Jesus says, don't tell anyone immediately, but go and show yourself to the priest who will verify that you've been healed. Today, when you get healed, go to the doctor. All right? You never give up medication when you're healed. All right? You go to the doctor or the consultant and you get it properly verified. All right? We don't want anybody making themselves more ill because they got carried away emotionally. We don't particularly want people getting carried away emotionally. Because that's not genuine healing anyway. So we always go and get it verified, and then the glory will go to God. In Jesus' time, the instructions given in the Old Testament were to go to the priest to have it verified. When you've been to the priest, he could talk about it all he wants. He says, go and get it checked. Go and get a testimony. Go and get the x-rays. Well, he didn't say that, but you can now. It's good, isn't it? This is practical stuff. Now, if you're on medication and you immediately start feeling ill when you take something, get to the doctor quick. But that's unusual. That's very rare. It does happen. Say you're on a certain kind of medication and you're healed, and so actually the medication will make you sick. But you'll know about that. All right? Because you'll feel worse when you take the medication. So get along to the doctors quick. Hallelujah. Anyway, when the legs regrow, then you can stop taking the painkillers because it'll be a little bit more obvious. Hallelujah. And if you were on medication before you died and you come back from the dead, you can probably not carry on taking it. That's probably fairly safe at that point. So if you do die and you get resurrected, okay, in those circumstances, you can give up the medication. Mind you, I'd still go back to the doctor and say hi. You know, you struck me off your list. I'm not supposed to be taking too long. Stop holding me up. Come on, look at the time. I like the next bit. That's just heroic stuff. When Jesus arrived at Capernaum, a Roman centurion approaches him seeking help. Doesn't that tell you what Jesus was like? He's no wimp. He's no fading flower. A centurion, a Roman centurion, would have been a bulk of a guy. He'd have been someone that worked out, because he'd have, in all his fighting practice. He was somebody that could keep bunches of convicts and slaves and recruits that had been placed in the army working in order and working well. The Roman army was a very efficient army. Roman centurions were hard. They were tough. And yet this tough Roman centurion could go to Jesus and say, help me. Amen. All right, he was no wimp. He was a leader of men. He was a leader of tough men. As Jonathan was so at pains to express earlier, I am not the immediate look of a tough guy. Okay, I do apologize for that, but I have the tough guy living in me. Hallelujah. And what he did say was that as he got to know me, there was something within his, yeah, I do want to get to know that guy. What did he see? He saw Jesus leaking out of all the gaps. All right? And that's what people need to see in all of us. You might be 85 and female, but you're still a tough guy. All right? You've got the tough guy living in you. But let us not be afraid to express some of that side of Jesus that the centurion saw and said, that guy can help me. For a centurion to go to a Jewish rabbi and ask for help was incredible. You know, what possessed him to do such a thing? The spirit that was on Jesus. He said, yeah, I'm a commander of 100 men, but there's something about that guy. Because this is the story where he says, you don't need to come to see my guy healed. I can see you're a man under authority. Because I can give orders and men just do it. If you give an order for this healing to happen, it's just going to happen. And Jesus says, wow, I've not found such faith in all of Israel. You know, Jesus was excited by the centurion that he'd found incredible faith. What faith was he excited about? The man recognized that faith and the release of power was a work of authority. And because Jesus was under authority, it could just be released through him. That's why we submit ourselves to God. That's why we don't want to be caught just doing our own stuff. You know, we want to see the goodness of God flowing through us. Otherwise, people around us are not going to get what they could get. The church is a funny old place. It's a club that exists for those who don't belong to it, really. It's supposed to be a living demonstration of Jesus. I mean, it's essential that we're together. It tells us don't give up meeting together and all that. Of course it does. But it also exists like Jesus existed. When he was on earth, it was the full embodiment of God as a demonstration to the people. That's what Jesus was. But now it's us. You are Jesus to the world. However you live your life, however you speak, however you talk, however you do your work, however honest you are in paying your bills and your taxes, however diligent you are in seeing the work done, you're saying this is what Jesus is like. Even if the people around you don't know that you're a Christian, there's a spirit connection that goes on that they'll know something of what's happening. Yeah. Scary, isn't it? You know, and we might think the little bit of dishonesty, we've kept it hidden. It's not hidden in the spirit. So we're constantly, we say, well, it doesn't really matter. Everybody does this. You know, everybody I can't think of something that everybody does. Maybe everybody cheats on their taxes. That's one that's used in America. They all seem to say that a lot. But everybody just does this. So they're a little bit dishonest here. But we're not. I can get away with that. I'm okay. I can play video games that have got an 18 certificate. I can watch films that have got an 18 certificate. It doesn't affect me. It affects your spirit.
That's right.
You know? And for some people, it'll be a much lower certificate than that. You've got to know yourself. If I watch that, I start thinking about that. The problem, I mean, first-person shooter games, they're so brilliant now. The graphics, they look like films. But the trouble is, they're so brilliant now, you start realizing it looks like you're gunning down human beings. Do you really need that picture in your mind? Go and do paintballing instead and shoot real people. Hallelujah. Jesus was tough. The centurion recognized it. That evening he goes to Peter's house. He found Peter's mother-in-law in bed, sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left immediately. She was able to get up and prepare a meal for them. What a guy, you know? What a woman. Let's hear it for Peter's mother-in-law. She's so ill, she can't get out of bed. Jesus comes in and goes zap, and she's healed. So she gets on and does what needs to be done. She doesn't bask around in the glory, having an extra quiet time, and, you know, oh, I've been healed. I need to tell her. She just gets the meal done. And we forget that God sorts us to get things done. There's a time and a place for the contemplative, and there's a time and a place for the active. We need both. We need both in everybody, actually. All right, Jesus was very active, but he spent time with the Father. Anyway, in the evening, many people possessed by demonic powers were brought to Jesus. He needed only to speak a word of command, and evil spirits were cast out of them, and he healed all the sick. It's not just in the odd place that it says it. It's all over the place. This fulfilled what God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and diseases upon himself. Amen? Hang on, where should we go next? Oh, yeah, he's a bit of a hero. This is too quick for all these stories because they're deep stories. But the disciples are with Jesus in a boat. There's a storm, you know, this one. Jesus was sleeping peacefully. Why? Because he was trusting God the Father. He'd already said, we're going to the other side, so he knew they weren't going to drown. Lord, save us, we're about to drown, they cried out in alarm. What does Jesus say? Never mind, guys, I can sort this. You just sit there. I'm the hero. I'm the man of power for the hour. Storm, be still. Watch and learn. Now he says, oh, you have little faith. I mean, these guys, most of them are seasoned fishermen, so that they've presumably been through quite a few storms, so this one must have been awful. They think there's no way we're getting out of this. Their professional opinion, their expert opinion was, we are going to drown.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to get in your life many professional and expert opinions that say the opposite of what Jesus has said. And at that point, you've got to decide where you're going to put your faith. The disciples decided they were going to put it in, we're going to drown, the professional expert opinion. And Jesus said to them, oh, you of little faith, Jesus or the consultant? All right, you've received a negative diagnosis of something that's going to happen in your life. Who are you going to trust, Jesus or the consultant? I'm going to drown in this. This is just too much. Or, okay, we're going to the other side. I'm going to fulfill everything that God has given to me, and my life will not be cut short through sickness. Amen? Being martyred is a whole different case. Lives are cut short through martyrdom, through what God is doing, but never through sickness. That's never God's plan. Of course I do. You're getting some fun and some tough mixed in here. I wonder how many martyrs there are in this room. When we used to talk to children, a Go generation, most years, God would impress upon me, and sometimes specifically, the children in that room who would die for Christ. This is real Christianity. People that are prepared to go. Not just take up my cross daily and give up Coronation Street. This, or Call of Duty. You know, this is it. I wonder how many here. Because I tell you, God's told me there's more than one in the room now who will die because they're Christians serving God. And there'll be more that come and join. Don't let fear come on you. Just realise that this is real. This is serious. It's this, the jump about, it's the have fun, it's being filled with God's joy. But actually, the freedom that God gives us is the freedom to choose. And it's the freedom to choose, actually, I want the best. I want that hero. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow that man who was so tough, so strong, so attractive that even a centurion would go to him and say, help me. I'm going to follow the guy that saw everybody healed because I'm going to learn to ride the bike like that. I want to see everybody I pray for healed. This is not just superhero. This is just every hero, and we're every hero. Amen? I've got about 2 minutes. You ready? Yeah, just do this one. They arrive at the other side of the lake, and there's men who are so violent, so vicious, that no one will go near them. They're warned away. You read the different stories. They were so violent that no one dared go near them or the place where they lived. But Jesus did. Because it says they shouted at him. What business do you have here with us, Son of God? Nobody, it says quite clearly, they were so violent, nobody dared go near them or the place where they lived. So what was Jesus doing there? He's a hero. He was where the Father needed him to be. He'd gone all across the lake just to do this, in the storm. And the guys get set free. Oh, there's so much. Then a crowd. Yeah, I need to stop because there's so much. But let's just finish with the very last thing that I've got in my list of stuff. And this is just one chapter going slightly into the next. Yeah, 9:9. Let's finish where we started. All this has been happening. As Jesus continued on his way, he saw a man called Matthew sitting where he collected the taxes. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Matthew obeyed and followed him. When you get the call to follow him, what's your answer? And before you actually answer, have a look at what Matthew's first act was as a Jesus follower. He threw a party and invited his friends round. Don't get so spiritual about what I'm going to be doing in the spirit that you forget life. Matthew, as an example of somebody who says yes when Jesus says, come follow me. Matthew, who is actually one of the 12 disciples, one of the guys that are chosen to take the gospel message beyond you, one of the 12 foundational guys. So, what he does must be important. What does he do when he gets saved? He throws a party. A megas party. A banquet, if you look at the actual Greek. That's what he does. It's in there as an example. Don't get so carried away that you forget we do live in the world. We're not of it. God has called us to not just be consumed by the world and just be exactly the same as the world, but we are in it. But we're in it like Jesus was. To bring something that's good, something that's different, to make a difference. You know, you might not see all your friends around you and family coming to church and giving their lives to Jesus, but do they smile because you went to the party? Are they pleased because you were around? Is work a nicer place because you're there? That's where it starts. Throw a party. Have the fun stuff. and then ride the bike on the adventure of faith, knowing that you're going to see more and more and more. We use the bike example for worship, and this is the bike example for healing. Let's just learn together. Amen. Thing is, there's one place where the learning to ride a bike analogy completely falls down and is completely wrong. I don't know if you've spotted it. I'll tell you what it is. The Father never lets go of the saddle. He will always keep you upright. He will never leave you to go off on your own. He's always going to be there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're gonna come to an end there. But we can't talk about healing and not see healing. So we need to finish with a call for anyone that's here this morning that needs healing. Let's just reflect for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we'll do in a minute is we will pull the door across, and people that need to go, you can go. People that want a cup of coffee and chat in there, and we'll just enable this area here at the front to be a place for healing. But remember the words from Jesus to you this morning, "Of course I do." And when hands are laid on you, what's happening is not a prayer, but an encounter with Jesus where power comes and changes you. Of course I do. And there's some people here, and you've been praying for healing before, and you sort of say, well, it's happened and it's been done. Yeah. But this morning, God is just stirring your faith. Because faith is really what opens the channel. Hallelujah. I think to enable us to focus at the front while people are coming and going and everything else, it'd be good just to, if could you come and play, Claire? I think Elka's out. Oh no, there's Elka. Yes, come and do your stuff. You don't have an Elka with you when you're in the supermarket, but we're not in the supermarket, so we might as well make use of an anointed player. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a mind here that God wants to still this morning. The healing really is just to give you peace, because you've fretted and worried about finances, I think. And you're not sleeping because of that. And God, there's a healing to come on you. It's not just your lack of faith that's causing that, but what it is, the healing is going to be His peace. There's somebody else who you get a lot of pain. I think it's sort of down here in this part of your leg. Yeah, just here. And even as I do that, I can feel pain here as well, which I don't normally get. Remember that Jesus healed all the pain, regardless of the condition or what's causing it. You know, you might say, well, I think it's arthritis, or it could be something more sinister, or it could be just a strain. But yeah, I just see pain in... I've got right hip. And then there was the other one in the calf muscles, same leg. If you come forward, because coming forward is a step of faith, you see. It's an opening up the channel. It's saying, yeah, I'm going to go and stand in the funnel of healing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Somebody else. Repeated headaches. And these headaches take the form of flashing lights. You almost see lights in front of your eyes. It almost feels like they go round your head when you get the severe pain of these particular headaches. It's what I'm seeing is flashing lights. I feel like they're going round my head. I don't feel any pain, but for you, this pain. God wants to heal that this morning. Come forward in a minute and I just give the call. I really do want to dismiss everybody. I just need to make sure that I speak out every word that the Holy Spirit is highlighting. I mean, if you're in pain this morning, or you suffer from regular pain, come forward, because we see many people healed of pain, and it can be anything. It could be heart problems, it could be stomach problems, it could be diagnosed diseases, it could be something you have no idea what it is, but as it says in the Word, all those with pain, even severe pain, were healed. And Jesus is in us. So the same Jesus is here. Does he want to heal you? Of course I do, says Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, this last one is a little odd. I don't understand it, but maybe it will speak something to you. Or I'm just bringing something out of myself, in which case it can just fall on the floor and be forgotten. But I'm seeing somebody, I think you were younger when this happened, which is why it doesn't perhaps match, I don't know. But I'm seeing somebody who's got dyed blue hair. And you have all kinds of issues in your life that stem out of a broken and poor relationship with your mother. God's just used the blue hair thing to identify this specifically. You had real relationship issues with your mum, and that still manifests in all kinds of negative behaviour or maybe self-destructive behaviour now. Not always noticeable by others, but certainly you know about it, and it really holds you back and restricts you. I want to pray with you this morning if that is you. You used to have blue hair because, well, when we pray for you, God's going to, he's going to like heal your spiritual sight so that you can see his love and experience his love, which will enable you to overcome the negativity of your broken relationship with your mum. Because you realize your identity is not in that broken relationship, but in your new one with Jesus. You don't need to look back to that anymore, but look to Jesus, and you'll get new strength to overcome that old way of thinking. It's a new pot time. Hallelujah. So I think at that point, if you want to stay in and just reach out and pray for anybody that does come forward, you're of course very welcome for that. Just for the present, we'll keep things quiet in here. You can go down to the den, though. You're very welcome to go down there, and people will walk through the back and everything. Or you can go through to the coffee shop, which will just pull the door over. So thank you and God bless you for being here. And if you need healing, especially if I've mentioned you specifically in one of those words, could you just come forward and stand just along the front here right now, because we want to lay hands on you. You could experience Jesus in your life and the power of his healing. Just come right now, and the rest of you are welcome to pray or welcome to leave. God bless you. Don't miss the opportunity for that pain to be a thing of the past. Don't miss this opportunity to have a story to tell. If this is what the pain was like, then God did this, and now I'm pain free. As I come and minister to you, if any of the words that have been spoken apply to you specifically, please let me know that that's the case.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire. We'll be right back.